You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Foundation to launch forward into whatever God's purpose, future, will is for your life. But he wants to move in ways that maybe we haven't seen him move before. Standing outside just greeting, some of you were coming in and someone looked at me and said, I'm a little scared about this series on the Holy Spirit. And I said, so am I. So am I. But in a good way. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for the next 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. I don't know. We'll just talk about the Holy Spirit because we desperately need the Holy Spirit today. You need the Holy Spirit working in your life. I need the Holy Spirit working in my life. I'm excited because today we begin this series on the Holy Spirit, and the reason this series is so important to me, and I hope it's important to you as well, and that's because this is about not just understanding theologically the work of the Holy Spirit, but more to gain a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. So would you keep this in front of you? This is about certainly what God's Word is speaking to us about the Holy Spirit, but it's about me growing deeper in my relationship with Him. And I don't know if you've ever thought about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talk about having a relationship with our Father and the Son, Jesus. But when we talk about a relationship with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we just feel like it's just out there. It's nebulous. It's just not something that we think about that much. And today, what I want to do is just begin the process of you thinking about a relationship with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in each one of our lives. A few weeks ago, I had this dream, and this really is proving that Acts is true, because we're going to talk a little bit about Acts. It says young men see visions and old men have dreams, and so I don't have dreams very often, but this was one of those dreams, and the dream that I had was I was sitting talking to a group of 10 or 12 unbelievers, the people that just had no idea who Jesus was or what church was about, and it was so refreshing for me. And I just remember in this dream being so excited, talking to them about Jesus, not talking to them about anything else, nothing else that was going on in the world, nothing else that was going on in community, but just talking to them about Jesus. And about halfway through this message of Jesus, someone lifted their hands and they said, I want him. And another one said, I want him. And I said, whoa, 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 I'm not done yet. You know, I got a few more things I want to say. But I realized what the Holy Spirit was doing. It was moving in people's hearts. And they were saying, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. And I was so astounded. I asked them the question, why are you so willing to step into this relationship with Jesus Christ when you're just hearing about him right now, this very moment? And you know what they said to me? They said, because when we hear the name of Jesus, we know there's hope. And we're living in a world of despair. And we choose hope. And Jesus brings hope. That was their explanation. And I thought about the simplicity of just talking about Jesus, just sharing Jesus with those people that are in our lives and some of those people that you will encounter that might not even know or have heard the name Jesus Christ. You think that to be impossible in the places that we live today. We live in this country, the United States of America. Everyone knows about Jesus. No, everyone doesn't know about Jesus. And I think it's going to be the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, the power of God's Holy Spirit working in you to bring clarity on who Jesus is. And we find that out as we grow deeper in that relationship. In Acts chapter 2, there's this interesting comment that Luke, the author of Acts, makes. After the Holy Spirit moves on women and men gathered in the upper room with a great wind, the tongues of fire, those gathered began to speak with another tongue as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were speaking the good news of Jesus Christ so that everyone listening heard this message in their own language. It's an amazing thing. Then you get to this odd comment in verse 6 of Acts chapter 2, and it says, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were confused. So here's what I understand happened on this day of Pentecost. God's Holy Spirit moves in this powerful, miraculous way. It says that the Holy Spirit spoke with clarity the good news of Jesus Christ. And what were the people? The people were confused. It's kind of interesting. Wait a minute. Why were they so confused? Because everybody heard them speak with clarity the good news in his own language. Isn't that odd? God speaks with clarity, and they were confused. And yet I find myself doing the very same thing. That God's Holy Spirit is speaking to me, he's speaking to you with great clarity, abundant clarity. And we become confused. And I think there's a reason we become confused. It's because when the Holy Spirit speaks with clarity, we want to throw in our own human reason and try to sort it all out. Because that's exactly what they did. They said, well, this can only be one thing. These people are just stone drunk. That's why they're doing what they're doing. You see what human reason does? It takes the clarity of God, the clarity of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and that human reason begins to muddle the waters. That's what's happening here. It happened from the very beginning. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, God said very clearly, don't eat or touch the fruit of this tree, lest you die. Pretty clear. It's really clear. Okay, guys, this is what I'm asking. Do not touch, do not eat, or you will surely die. It's like there's a big sign. I just imagine God putting a big sign. Have you seen those signs? Don't swim here. Or the sign that says don't touch or don't feed. Big red sign. I think God put a big old red sign in front of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, don't touch it, don't eat it, you will die. What happens? Satan comes along and plants this seed of doubt. And human reason starts to take over. Because when you go down a little ways to verse 6, it says, and so when the woman saw, or she reasoned, that's the actual interpretation of that word, she reasoned that the tree was good for food. There's a way to justify that. That it was pleasant to the eyes, that the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who ate it as well. That the tree was good, that it was pleasant, that it was desirable, and she ate it. Do you see what happens here? Do you see what happens when God speaks by his Holy Spirit with clarity and we see what's on the other side and we begin to reason and use our own reason and say, well, that's good. That's pleasant. That's desirable. What do? We take it. Human reason will also try to justify human behavior. And human behavior left on its own will always lead to sin. And that's captured so well for us in Genesis chapter 3. This is why this is vital for us to listen today. And hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking. Because what you will experience in your life as you dive into a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to experience some things that human reason cannot explain, that can't even capture. It can't put it in a box what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We want it neatly packaged. And we want to understand it fully, but that's not the way of the Holy Spirit. The prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you with profound clarity. He will speak to you. I've prayed over this. I believe this with all of my heart. And if you want to accept that as prophetic, then accept it as prophetic, because that's what I think it is. He's going to speak to you about your life, about your relationship with Jesus Christ, about your relationship with family and friends, and he's going to speak about your future and your direction with great clarity. Don't confuse it with human reason. So it's important that we invite the Holy Spirit. So let's do that. Would you bow your heads? Lord, we invite your presence into this place. We invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed in this place. You're welcomed in the sanctity of our lives, in that sacred place in our spirit and our soul where only you can move, that you can undo what needs to be undone, that you can do what needs to be done. And Lord, that you would do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit had withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they would have been doing, they would stop, and everyone would have known the difference. Wow. So if you read all the way through the New Testament, if you read the Gospels, if you read through the epistles, and really all the way through the New Testament, what you're going to see is this utter dependence of the Holy Spirit and on the Holy Spirit, that they depended on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be who God had called them to be and to fulfill the mission that God had called them to fulfill. They understood that there was no church without the Holy Spirit. They understood that there were no followers of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. They knew that there was no miraculous works done without the Holy Spirit. They knew that life itself depended on the Holy Spirit. This they knew. This they deeply understood. And so this is the question that we're asking during this series. A question I think gets really to the heart of things, and I know that it's done the same for me. And the question that we're going to ask in this series, the one that I want you to wrestle with personally, the one that we need to wrestle with as a church, and that's this. If the Holy Spirit were to leave, would you even notice? Just let it lay. Just ask the question and let it sit. If the Holy Spirit were to leave, would you even notice? So my prayer is this, that we'll study and that we'll dive deep into the Word, but even more, we'll encounter the Holy Spirit. One of the more powerful words used to help us understand the Holy Spirit is the word wind. And that's really what we're talking about today. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And one of the metaphors that's used is the word wind. The Hebrew word is ruach. You can say that. We were in Israel a couple weeks ago, and they have a lot of hachs to everything they say. You feel like you're almost getting spit on, but you're not. They know how to do it really well, but this is one of those words. It's ruach. The word in the Greek for spirit is the word pneuma, and it just means air or breath. And when we read it in the context of the Holy Spirit moving in Acts chapter 2, it really means this. It means, and when the wind blew, it was the breath of life, the breath of the Creator creating, the breath of God, the breath of the Holy Spirit moving in people in such a way that it radically changed their lives and in fact gave people a tongue to speak to a culture that could understand exactly what the good news of Jesus Christ was all about on the day of Pentecost. And when they left that place in Jerusalem, all of them went back to their own people, their own cultures, their own languages, and they bring the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the tenacity and the radical love of God that's behind all of this. He is so determined for you to know the good news. He's determined for your family and your children, those that you even think are lost and dying and walking away. He is determined to breathe life, creative life, ruach, the pneuma upon them. Because we see it happen here. And I believe it's happening today and can happen in our lives. John chapter 3, Jesus explains the Holy Spirit to a religious leader named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is trying to get his head around this. He's trying to use some human reason here. You mean the only way that I can be reborn is by the Holy Spirit, by the breath of God? He says, well, do you mean I enter my mother's womb again? I mean, how does see where this reason messes you up? And Jesus says, no. No, this is a new work. It's the wind of God's Spirit, the breath of God's Spirit. And it says this in John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So why does Jesus use the word wind? Well, I think it's simple to me. I think it's because the wind is non-physical, but it's also tangible. There aren't very many things that fall under this category of non-physical but tangible. You can't hold on to it, but you can feel it. You can see what it does. I don't think anyone in here would deny that there's wind. But can you see the essence of wind? Can you see the particles of wind? Can you see that? No, we can't see it. But I certainly can see and feel what it does. So Jesus takes this property, this element of wind, and he says, this is like the Holy Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit works. You can't hold on to it, but you can feel it. And so the Holy Spirit is non-physical, but is tangible. And this is what makes us uncomfortable about the Holy Spirit. Because we want to see it. We want to see the wind. We want to see this, but the wind cannot be contained. And we like to contain things. We even like to contain God. We love the wind when it works for us. We love the wind when it works in our favor. But when the wind blows in ways that get in the way of our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan, our 401ks, when the wind gets in the way of my future in college, my professional career, when the wind gets in the way of all of that, it unravels us. Is that true? Yeah. Just seeing if you're there with me. So true. When it disrupts my human reason, when it disrupts my plan, it unravels me. Because I had this pretty wired in until the wind showed up. And the wind shows up and all that changes. A long time ago, I was asked to be in a sailboat race. I don't remember being on a sailboat before that, but these guys needed another crew member to fill a spot, and it was a race on the Columbia River, and I thought, yeah, I'm in for it. I was in my early 20s. I thought this would be great, so they brought me onto this sailboat, and this sailboat was magnificent. I mean, this was a racing boat, and this had all these kinds of things. It was fancy. I couldn't tell you what all the buttons and the gadgets and the pulleys and all that was all about. I didn't know anything. They just said, sit here, and when we tell you to move that, move that. And I said, I'll do it. I just wanted to experience it. I just wanted to be out there and just have fun and experience it. And by the way, bottom line was, we won the race. That was pretty cool. I'd never done that. That's the first and last race that I'd ever been in on a sailboat. But I just remember, wow, this is all great. This is all wonderful. This thing has been built for the wind. But if there's no wind, it doesn't matter how nice it looks. It's not going nowhere. You see, we have been built for the wind. You have been made for the wind, for the breath of God, for the Roha, for the Pneuma. You have been made for the wind. And that's the sole purpose of a sailboat. A sailboat isn't a sailboat without wind. It doesn't work the other way around. God has created you for the wind of God. So here's the best way to understand and grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that He is a person. He is a person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if we only recognize the Holy Spirit as a force or an energy, the rest of this series will really never pick up any traction for you. You cannot have a relationship with a force. You cannot have a relationship with energy. The Holy Spirit is a person. And here's how Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit to his disciples. Now remember, Jesus is getting ready to leave this planet. It's in John chapter 14, and he breaks the news. He's been talking to them about this, but they're not getting it altogether. So he's going to share with them. He's going to say, now listen, I'm going to be headed out. I'm not going to be here, but I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm going to send my Spirit to be there. So he starts to prepare his disciples for his departure and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Make sense? And he's going to do this. And the reason he's going to do this is, again, this radical love that he's committed to you, that he says to you, please get a hold of this. He says to you, he will never leave you or forsake you. So he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's leaving the planet. But bam, he sends his Spirit. So you're not left alone. So you're not an orphan. And so he starts to unpack the Holy Spirit with his disciples. In John chapter 14, again, Jesus is concluding his life. He's preparing his disciples. And this is what it says in verses 16 and 17. It says, and I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him, remember that, nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So he's starting to tell them what is up, what's coming, what's down the road for them when they experience the Holy Spirit. Now, notice something in verse 16. Notice the word another. Put your finger right on that word if you have your Bible. Put your right there, another. There are two definitions Jesus could have used here by using that word, another. One definition is, another means similar to, or kind of like, or a similarity. That's not the word he uses for another here. He uses the other Greek word for another. The other Greek word that he uses here is, this is exactly the same. The another is exactly the same. I'm sending someone exactly like me to be with you in spirit. That's what he's saying. He wants them to see this. He wants them to understand this. Jesus said, it's me in spirit form. I'm coming. I'm leaving physically, but my Spirit is with you and will be in you. So we understand the personhood of the Holy Spirit by understanding Jesus Christ. When we look at Jesus, Jesus shows and teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And here are some of the problems I think that we have with the Holy Spirit. And I think in church today there are problems with the Holy Spirit. And it may begin with just the name, the Holy Spirit. We don't usually call people the Ron Swore or the this or the that, because then it kind of it doesn't make it personal. But when this is mentioned here, when Jesus mentions this, notice the words that he'll use. He uses, in this case, in the NIV translation, and I'll go back to this in a minute, he uses the word advocate. You see that? He's talking about a person here. That the person of the Holy Spirit is coming. And I think one of the problems that we have is this. We think of the Holy Spirit more as a what rather than a who. We think of the Holy Spirit, when we speak of the Holy Spirit, as an it rather than a he. We relate to the Holy Spirit as a force rather than a friend. See, until we clear this up, it'll be impossible to really have the right understanding and relationship with the Holy Spirit. Until I think those three things really get cleared up, it doesn't give us the pathway that we need to really experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I know sometimes when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we've used the word it. I remember in Bible college, it was like that was blasphemous. You know, in Bible college, you never call the Holy Spirit an it. And they're right. But just because the Holy Spirit has the name the Holy Spirit, it makes it hard for us. But I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, here's some ways in Scripture, I think, that help us understand the Holy Spirit being a person. I want to make sure that you understand the personhood of the Holy Spirit, because there are several places in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is referred to in ways that indicate and show us that the Holy Spirit is a person. And you can see that in a few places. One is in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and that's this: the Holy Spirit can be lied to. There's the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and some of you are aware of that in Acts chapter 5, where they sold their possessions and they brought to the church and said that they had given all that they had sold to the church, but they held back some. And the primary reason they were probably holding back some is they wanted people to think that they were better than they really were. And Peter talks to them and says, wow, what have you done here? Peter says this: Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? So what's Peter saying? He's, wow, you've made this a bigger deal. Ananias, you've gotten yourself into some deep water here. And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? Couldn't you have decided what you want? It was at your discretion. What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but you've lied to God. And we know the fate of both Ananias and Sapphira was death. Wow. Peter uses the names, I want you to notice, Peter uses the names God and the Holy Spirit interchangeably, also revealing the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Peter uses relational language here. Again, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit as a force or an energy. He's using language that is a relationship to and with. So when I read this story, I'm glad I'm still standing, by the way, when I read this story, because I wonder how many times I might have done the same thing where I pretend in front of you to be better than I really am. I don't know if you have that problem. I have that problem. Well, I don't want you to see my wounds. I don't want you to see my brokenness. I don't want you to see any of that in me. You probably do. I just don't want you to see it. And so what I have a tendency to do is make you think that I'm better than I really am. Might come out in subtle ways, conversations, name dropping, my education, my experiences, those people that I know that I know you know, those kinds of things. I'm so glad I'm still alive. But what it says here, it says here that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. You cannot lie to someone who's not a person. And then the other thing here is the Holy Spirit can be grieved. It says so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Paul writes this: and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I love that. You know what that means? You were marked. You're set aside. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. How will people know that you are a Jesus follower? You are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So it is the Holy Spirit that is actually the distinguishing factor in my life that makes a difference in the world that I'm part of. That's what he's saying. It's not all the other things. It is the Holy Spirit. Again, the early church understood this. So when I read this, it helps me understand him, the Holy Spirit, more personally, that my actions cause the Holy Spirit to feel certain things. In this case, it's grief. You cannot grieve someone who is not a person. You all know that, don't you? I mean, I really did something the other day, and the funny thing is, I felt a little guilty about doing it, but I got mad at Siri. You know, I did. When I got mad, I felt a little bad that I was mad at Siri. because I was asking for something and I was responding back because Siri wasn't giving me what I wanted and I wanted something right away. And so I said it out loud, not really loud, but I whispered, "You're worthless." I said that, "You're worthless." And then there was a response back, "I don't know how to help you." And then I said, "What do you mean you don't know how to help me? What do you mean you don't understand? I mean, I'm talking to Siri." And I said some pretty bad things, pretty offensive things that would have put you off if I would have said the same thing to you. Didn't bug Siri one bit. Siri went about her business, kept pressing me. You know, I had my grandson when he was really little. He was trying to get something on Siri, and he kept punching the button, and he wanted monster trucks. But he didn't know quite how to say it. He said monster trucks like this, "Monster truck, monster truck, monster truck." And he's yelling, and "I'm sorry, I don't quite understand. Monster truck," like slowing it down was going to really help, you know. And then it kept saying, "I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Can you repeat that?" Monster truck! He thought if he said it fast, maybe Siri would get, you know, the whole thing. But what I find out about Siri is I like Lexi more. I mean, I don't know. I like these other people. But what I find out about Siri is I can't offend a non-person. She wasn't offended. This voice wasn't offended. You see, the only way that you can grieve, the only way that you can hurt or is when you're in relationship. You know, it's the people that you love the most are the people that can hurt you the most. Is that true? And so that's relationships. That's a dynamic of relationship. And that's what's being exposed here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Paul's saying, you're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Meaning I can take certain actions that hurt the heart of God's Spirit. And I'll tell you, that gets me. Does it? Does that get you? I mean, just that there is that possibility I could disappoint the Holy Spirit. Because I know what that maybe looks like. You might know what that looks like. I remember when I was living at home, I was 18 years old, I was a senior in high school, and I stayed out way past curfew and you know, wasn't altogether a good boy that night. And my buddy brought me home. He opened the door. My dad's standing right in the door right there, like 2 a.m. And my buddy, really nice friend, he pushes me in. He says, "Hey, Mr. Swore, bye, Mr. Swore," and he left. And I'm just like, you know. My dad didn't get mad. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't punish me right there on the spot, but he looked at me and he says, "I'm glad you're home safe." He turned around and went to bed. Worst thing he could have done. I disappointed him. I didn't really do it much after that because I grieved him. I don't want to grieve my dad. And I certainly don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so it puts me on point, doesn't it? Does it give you an alert here that you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and your actions do matter? And here's another thing. The Holy Spirit can be your friend. I love this. The Holy Spirit can be your friend. I want to go and take you back to John 14:16. Where it says in John 4:16, "I will ask the Father," again Jesus speaking, "and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Now I'm going to give you a little parenthesis and I'll give you a little explanation. I don't know what happened here, but the NIV didn't really get this right. And sometimes in different translations, things can be a little turned or twisted. And I'm going to tell you what the NIV doesn't get here altogether. Do you see the word advocate? In every other translation and the original language, that word advocate has a capital A. It's a personal pronoun. It's a person. You look at all your other translations, it might use the word helper, it uses the word comforter, the Message uses the word friend. All of those are actually accurate. but it's with a capital and not a lowercase. I want you to get that. How many have NIV translation? I'm going to make you, do a correction in your Bible right now. This is not graffiti. You're not defacing anything. Please believe me, in the original language, take the word advocate, if it's small a, put a capital A with a black pen right there, and that's really the way that that's to be understood, that this is a person. The Holy Spirit is your friend. I don't know if you've ever thought of the Holy Spirit being your friend. I don't know. I know what this does for me. This renews and revives in me that effort to get to know my friend better. I'm thinking in life we have friends. But the kind of friend that would lay their life down for us, that might be a little rare. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. This friend, this advocate, will be closer than a brother or a sister, because this advocate is your closest and deepest friend. So as you go and process in the next few hours, the next few days, I'm going to ask that you really think of the Holy Spirit as your friend. Again, comforter, counselor, helper, friend, it works, but I want to land on friend, and we're okay with doing that. It says, the Father will send you another friend that will never leave you. So here's what I'd like to do. Is I would like your prayer to be this, that the Holy Spirit, and you would pray this, Holy Spirit, I want to know you personally. I welcome you into my life. I want you to be my closest friend. It's a really, really simple prayer. So would you just bow your head for a moment? Just repeat after me. If this is your heart, if this is your desire, I don't want to make you do something that you don't want to do. But I certainly want to invite you to enter into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is how we can actually even take deeper steps by praying this prayer. So just repeat after me, Holy Spirit. I want to know you personally. And I welcome you into my life. And I want you to be my closest friend. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take a hold of that. Take a hold of what God wants to do in your life. And the Holy Spirit is going to move in ways, again, that I think are going to be remarkable. Can I ask this question? I'm going to wrap it up here. How many are just really looking for direction in your life right now? If you don't want to lift your hand, that's fine. But if you are, lift your hand and say, I am. I'm looking for direction. Man, I feel for you. But even more, you have a friend that's walking this road with you, that is determined, more determined than you are, to get you where you need to be. And he's going to speak in the next few days and next few weeks. He's going to speak clearly to you about your direction. Listen carefully to what he has to say. Don't confuse his words with your reason and your justifications. Just listen. Is that good? In Jesus' name. I'm so thankful. Thank you for your honesty, saying I need direction. I need it. How many have felt or experienced God's call on your life in a certain way? Lift your hand. Good. Good. Put your hand down now. Listen, your reason will tell you it's something else other than God. And you will try to justify all kinds of direction other than fulfilling his call on your life. Well, when I get older, or when I get more educated, or when I speak better, or when I look better. That's never going to happen for me. He's calling you now. It's not a call that's just about your future. It's a call that has to do with your present, because he is a present God. He is a present God. And he's speaking to you now about the call of God on your life. In Jesus' name, let that call be real. Let it come with clarity. I think it already has in a lot of ways. Do not confuse it with human reason. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen. God, let us again have the clarity of your Holy Spirit. Keep our human reason out of this. Give us the strength to hear you and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you go ahead and stand with me? One of the things that we want to do today in our time together is we want to thank...
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.